Fanatics is the latest entry in the Diary of Doom as we look back on the rich history of doom metal and its sister sounds based on the recounted tales of its followers. Every week, we will have a different guest to spin their yarn. You can visit the website over at www.diaryofdoom.com. Follow us on Instagram at Diary of Doom. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Diary of Doom. And you can follow the podcast on diaryofdoom.podbean.com. And subscribe and listen on iTunes and Spotify. And if you have a question or whatever, something, anything, a feeling, you can fire that off in an email to diaryofdoom1968@gmail.com. And our guest this week in this chapter is Andrew Archie, who is the bass player in Godmaker, and he's in a couple other bands. How you doing?
Doing all right, man. How about yourself?
Just taking it day by day.
Mm-hmm.
Godmaker is they're local to me as far as I'm concerned. But they're a local New York doom metal band that I caught, I want to say it was 2018, maybe I'm wrong, opening up for Acid King. And we were really, really blown away. We really enjoyed your jams. And then I've bumped into you a couple other places since then. You're in a couple other bands and projects going on that we'll talk about. But that all started somewhere. So where did you begin your, you know, interest in music?
Well, let's see. I started actually playing bass when I was about 10 years old. My younger brother, Austin, and I both, like, we were about like 3.5 years apart. He is a drummer, and we both got started around the same exact time. So, you know, I had taken lessons up until I was probably about 18 years old, but in that time frame, my brother and I had a couple of bands together. When I was still living in New Jersey, which is where I'm from.
Another Jersey boy.
Yep. Lived in Edison until just after my 18th birthday, and then I moved to New York. And then shortly after that, I spent a couple years just kind of getting acclimated and kind of starting over here for a little bit, and did like a couple of one-off gigs for bands that just needed a bass player to fill in. And then John, the drummer from Godmaker, and I met each other through working at Guitar Center, and he and I started jamming together. And then probably about a year into that, Pete came into the fold, and that's when everything kind of really kicked in. We used to be a four-piece. We had two different guitar players prior to going back down to being the current lineup that we have now. But yeah, I mean, as far as like my musical journey, it's kind of been all over the place. I will full-on say it's like, you know, I play doom metal and stuff like that now, but I was playing full-on screamo music when I was 15 to like 18 years old.
Yeah. I'm kind of assuming that, you know, we're not from the same area of New Jersey, but close enough to New York that we're gonna, you know, you get some of that crossover into New Jersey from across the river. And I know, like, when, because I'm assuming we're about the same age. Like, I know when I was growing up, like pop punk, screamo was fucking huge. Like, yep. That was like the jams for me in high school. And it wasn't really like my thing, but my friends were really into it. So I wound up going to shows at like
you get
School of Rock. Was that the place? Was that a venue?
That was in Hackensack.
Yeah, in Hackensack. We used to go there for like $5 shows.
Yeah.
Actually did see some bands there I liked.
Yeah, I was a little further south than that. So I had like Court Tavern in New Brunswick.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like just really a ton of VFW halls by me until you got further south, and you had like the Saint, and you had a couple of spots in Red Bank.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's weird. It's like, yeah, I played a lot of screamo, and I listened to a lot of that growing up. But then I was like also always like kind of listening to metal and various forms of like hardcore and metalcore. So it's like, while I was listening to that, while playing that, like, most of the stuff I was listening to is, like, Poison a Well or, like, old 90s metalcore and stuff like that.
You know, you're not bound to one style, which is, I think, useful as a bass player. You can play in a lot of different kinds of bands. But me know you best for Godmaker. Was there like a specific metal record that kind of drew you in a little bit away from your sort of punkish and pop punk upbringing?
Not entirely. I mean, because it's like So a lot of like my musical experiences, like finding bands and things like that, I actually credit my dad to a lot. When he'd pick my brother and I up, one of the first things we'd always do prior to, because he lived in New York, prior to driving back to New York, we'd always go record shopping. And, you know, he would always turn us on to a lot of things. Actually, it's funny, like bands like Converge and Botch, I actually credit my dad to being the guy that turned me on to them at an early age.
That's not something I would hear from like any of my friends' dads.
No, my upbringing was very, very not strange. But like I was shown a lot of different stuff. Either something, you know, whether it was like modern metal at that time, or, you know, older stuff that my dad was into that he would show us. And as a bass player, like as much as I, you know, like I said, like my, as far as a performer, a lot of it was the earliest of it was always like screamo and stuff like that. The first few things I ever learned as a bass player were like Iron Maiden songs and Black Sabbath songs. So it's like, it's always kind of been there. It was more, when I moved to New York, it was a very different dynamic. And I knew that I wanted to do something different just when the time came, but like the people I had started jamming with, whether it be John or, you know, other people that he and I jam with prior to Godmaker actually forming, it was just like, it was a different style and a different feel. And it was honestly like challenging in a way, but also very welcoming, because it was fun to kind of break away from everything I did as a kid. And John will tell you that I'm still a kid because I'm 10 years younger than him, I think. So
you're just like the eternal whipping boy.
Oh yeah, no, it's forever. Except in Endless, which is a band that I am in, but that's with guys that are all my age that I grew up with.
Right. A little bit of a different dynamic. But that's what's funny. They all have their own little unique charms to them. So you moved to New York, and did you just dive into the scene, or were you like brought over just, well, you said it was by jamming with John, you kind of got to know the scene a little bit more, right?
Yeah, and a couple of guys that I'm still close with that I, you know, that I'd worked at Guitar Center with at that time, kind of, you know, would show me stuff as well and have shows. It was always an issue because, you know, I moved here when I was 18, so getting into shows was like, either had to know the door guy or get snuck in until I was 21. A lot of the venues were always 21 plus, so like I saw a fair amount of stuff when I could. We really kind of dove into everything. Everything kind of went in full swing more probably a few years later after moving here, because I had gotten more acclimated. John and I had finally had a lineup solidified, and then Godmaker really became a thing when our second guitarist, Chris, moved out here from Kansas, because we finished writing the record and we actually started performing. And then we put the record out, I think, our first show, I think, was 2013, I want to say. And then the record came out a year later.
Which is a great record. Love it a lot. I remember I sent it to, I was talking to a buddy online, and he was looking for something new to listen to. And I said, you should check out this band. They're from Brooklyn. And he was like, oh, I like the name. I'm going to check them out. And he was really blown away. He was like, dude, where are the bands that sound like this? And I was like, oh, they're here in Brooklyn. but yeah, it's cool, because I can just, you know, it's not like one of those bands like, oh, yeah, listen to this. Like, yeah, it's great. Like, I need something new and exciting. And it's got that grab and that excitement. And it's got a guy with the squid for a head on the front. And I'm looking at it right now.
Nice.
And then you did a split with Sumnuri, which is another Brooklyn local metal band.
Yeah.
How'd you put that together?
So all of us between both bands, we've all known each other from different projects or, you know, working together. Phil, the drummer from Sumnuri, and I actually work together currently. So the song that we have for the split, an excerpt, we had
Sophie
written that with
St. James, put it on
Carmine.
We were gonna
Latta,
go,
who was our guitar player after Chris.
I'm gonna
we saw, you know, we knew the length of the song, which was, you know, for anybody who isn't aware, it's about 14 and a half minutes roughly. But you know, we kind of knew that it wasn't gonna probably go on our next record, but we still wanted to release it. So we had had the thought for a while of doing that. It was just a matter of who with. And we had a couple of ideas that bounced around for about a year and change. And then I remember talking to Phil about it, saying, you know, we had this song at the ready, and the cover, the Portishead cover that's on there as well. And we discussed the idea of putting it out together. And the guy, the label who put it out, the company, the owner of that, Josh, we met through when we did our last tour about a couple years ago. And he took a liking to our band, and we brought it up to him, and he was interested in putting it out for us. So, you know, we're happy, you know, we were happy to actually get that out. And the Portishead cover, we kind of did randomly at a show. We were actually the only metal band on this. It was a Portishead tribute show, and they asked us to do it. And it went over really well, and we started incorporating it into our live set a little bit. And then we had some time, so we're like, you know, let's record it and see what happens. So Josh actually made it possible so that we could actually press that on the actual vinyl release instead of it just being a digital only thing, which was cool.
That's sick.
But yeah, playing that song, while we all love it, it's always a tough one because, you know, in our current lineup, it's hard to do it without a second guitarist, but also trying to factor in a 15-minute song in a 30 to 35-minute set where where all of our other songs are like 6 to 8 minutes, it makes it a little difficult for us.
Yeah. You need to get that like hour and a half slot to fill it up entirely.
And when we're all out of the Twilight Zone, it'd be really nice to try to revisit that one again, though.
Yeah, I think that would be fucking cool as hell. It reminded me too. You mentioned the Portishead cover and that you played at like a tribute show to them, which is pretty cool. You guys also played a sex party at St. Vitus or a sex. I don't know what the formal title of it was.
So I'm trying to remember the name of the actual event. I want to say it was like Satanic Black Mass or something to that effect. We still keep in touch with Sophie, and like that experience was awesome. They loved having us there. We loved doing it. There was kind of a last minute thing that was put together where they actually wanted us to provide background music to their whole part of the show, the whole like mass part of it. And so the three of us looked at each other, were like, oh, it's going to be just like doing this at band practice. Just don't deviate too hard. Let's all remain like let's all keep like a certain level of eye contact with each other when we're going to switch. So it was fun. That was at the end of, I think that was the end of 2017 was when we did that. Maybe 2018. No, it had to been 2018 was when we did that. Because 2019 was a bit of a quieter year for us, which was intentional up until the very end, which unfortunately John had broken his hip at that point. We had had a run of shows booked with our friends in Horseburner, but about a week prior to that happening, John broke his hip. He's actually recovered now, thankfully. But it's been a, 2019 was intentional to be quieter because we wanted to spend a lot more time writing. As a band, we've always been much busier with playing shows or, you know, trying to get on the road more often. And we had finally gotten to a point where, like, we have to write a second record. You know, it's been fun. We've had new songs written and performed, but we wanted to wrap it up so that we could actually record it all and release it.
Yeah, I remember that was an event that shook the internet. we were just like, oh, John.
Yeah, I was the one. He called me too. I was in Jersey with some friends, and he told me he had taken a pretty bad spill, and I'm like, well, are you okay? He's like, and it sounded a little uneasy. And then I got the text message later saying it was a lot worse than they had initially thought. But he's doing good.
He is doing good. I can attest to that. I have seen John Lane in person.
Yeah, he's doing really well. He took his recovery super, super, super seriously. And dude worked his ass off. So I commend him because, I mean, that, you know, I know other people who have had maybe not the same injury, but other injuries where it's like in a main area like that, and it's not easy. But I had actually had to stop by my studio the other day, and when I walked over there, he was actually in there drumming and practicing by himself. So he's been taking this time also to kind of just be on his own and work on it, you know, work on it even more.
I see some of the stuff he posts here and there doing it. It's good to see. Now, obviously, John had his spill and whatnot, but, you know, it looked like you guys were going to be kind of jumping back into the swing of things. You were going to be on the Shade Beast Festival. Was that what it was? It was the Shade Beast Festival?
Yeah, it was Shade Beast Festival.
Yeah, and then obviously we're in the middle of the COVID-19 crisis and, you know, figuring out if it's okay to actually go outside.
Yeah. They had emailed us, you know, early on before, you know, anybody knew how severe it was really going to get, or at least, you know, the hopes of, you know, a few weeks of everybody not having to, of everybody distancing themselves from each other would calm it down. Obviously that has, you know, not been the case. So it unfortunately had to get postponed until next year. But that would have been the first show of this year that we would have had. And we were just going to hightail it down to Athens because it's one of the Shade Beast guys in particular, Marcus, has been a very good friend to us, even when he lived up here. And every time we're down there, he's always put us up and taken care of us. And Joe, also at Shade Beast, is super awesome to us every time we're down there or he comes up here to visit. So, you know, when they asked us, we were more than happy to do it. And it's with a bunch of buddies as well.
Yeah, the lineup was great. There, just even the other or tomorrow. Well, it'll be tomorrow in a different timeline. But I mean, even that one of the episodes that I'm putting, I think it tomorrow is with Ben from Snow Burial. And I was just looking at the, I was like, oh, there's Ben's band again. And there's a ton of other good ones on there. Yeah. So but I was sad to see it go too. I'm glad it's going to be going on, hopefully, you know, next year without too many problems.
Yeah, no, the plan is to, I believe the plan is to hopefully try to bring it around the same exact time as many of the bands that can do it again. Cause obviously, you know, other people's travel, their touring schedules, you know, nobody knows what it's going to be. Really know what it's going to be at all next year. So we'll see. I mean, you know, we told them that if it is a possibility, we'll absolutely be there. So.
Cool. I hope that happens for you. I think that would be great. I love Shade Beast. They put out some fantastic shit.
Yeah.
In the kind of, you know, I assume that there was going to be more with this again, you know, coronavirus related, but like, you know, you've got two other projects going on now. You mentioned one before, Endless.
Yeah.
But there was another one that I saw earlier in the year, which was, it's called Cherisher. I saw it back in January. How did you get involved with Cherisher aside from being told that you had to change your name by a French house music artist?
So I actually, Jordan, our guitar player, I met years ago and, you know, we'd always seen each other around and hung out and spoken to each other. And then he and I ended up working together for a little while. And I remember one day he was asking me if I knew how to play guitar. And I'm like, you know, yes, but in the sense of like I never leave my bedroom and play it. Like I've never touted myself as like a great guitar player. I've just like been able to write, you know, and get ideas out. That's really it. And he had told me what he was kind of working on and sent me a couple of demos that he had worked on. I was really, really into it. So we had spent, you know, we spent a lot of time, me, him, Jimmy, our drummer, and John, our bass player, like just in Jimmy's basement, kind of working out everything. We really got into a swing of it probably at the end of 2019 when we were able to finally get into like a studio together and have like a more concise schedule where we were able to spend more time with each other. Everybody's like work schedules and personal schedules were a little all over the place for a little while, mine included. You know, it's fun. I mean, it's unlike anything I've done before stylistically, but also just as a musician, like I've never performed and played guitar. Like I've always been a bass player. It's always been my primary instrument. So it was the first show was definitely nerve wracking for me. Cause I'm like, I feel like I'm doing this all over for the first time all over again. which was fun though. It was like, it was like first show jitters. And I had like, I'm like, I haven't felt that in a while. This is great.
Yeah. I mean, I dug it. It's not Godmaker. That's for sure. It's more of like, a rock band.
Everything. So, you know, like you mentioned, I mentioned it too, that I've been in, you know, I'm in a few different things. And there is actually a third project that you haven't seen, and actually Olive Godmaker's involved in as well. We like to stay busy.
I can tell.
But everything is stylistically very different. There's no real overlap. Like, there might be moments of it, but nothing, like, nothing's exactly the same. And you've obviously seen that between Godmaker and Cherisher. And then the one I was telling you about that Godmaker's involved in is with our friend Nathaniel Shannon, which is called Nathaniel Shannon and the Vanishing Twin. And he started off by doing this as a solo record, and over time wanted to take it to more of a live show. We were all friends, but we were also on the same label on Aqualam, and they had pitched the idea of having us back him up and do more of a live performance with him. And we did a couple shows, and it was fun. And then we realized that we wanted to do it more often. So it actually worked out great, because everything he does is, like, I don't quite know how to describe his music outside of saying, like, very creepy and Tom Waits-esque is probably the best I can describe it. And I'm probably severely underpitching that in a way. The best advice I can give is that if that description intrigues anybody, check him out on Spotify. And as soon as this is all over, hopefully we will be playing shows. And that was our plan as well. And then Endless is basically a return to form for me, where in a sense that, like, it's not screamo, but it's more of like a post-hardcore band. And it's with guys I've known since I was like 15 years old. So everything I've done is stylistically very different from one another, which is, as a musician, is great, because I get to have, I'm grateful that I have multiple creative outlets, especially right now.
I can only imagine. Now, you obviously, you mentioned Endless. This is something that you were talking about being very, like, proud of. So is there just, like, is it because you're doing it with friends from New Jersey and it has that, like, feel of, like, camaraderie, kind of brotherhood thing going on? Or is it just, like, is it something you've been wanting to work on for a while and you just didn't have the chance? Because it's, like, pretty, like, kind of immersive, shoegazy, melodic hardcore. Mm-hmm. That's how I would describe it.
I'm proud of it, one, because of you know, the stuff that we put out so far, whether it's just, like, little, like, social media content, but also the music video and the first single that we put out, Kindling. That's a project that was really started by our guitar player, Scott, and Brett, our drummer, and they lived together. They had been working on songs quietly with each other, and then they brought in Dan, our singer, and they... The three of them used to be in a couple of bands together when we were all growing up, that my old bands played shows with. And it must have been around just after New Year's this year, they had asked me if I'd be interested in doing it. And they sent me the rough mix of what Kindling would turn into. And I was on board with it immediately. But yeah, there is a level of, like, brotherhood amongst it, because we've all known each other for so long and we're all very, very good friends. Everything that we've done, whether it's writing music or any of the content you see us post online, it's all done in-house with us. Brett edits all of our music videos and does a lot of the shooting. When he's behind a kit, he gets my brother involved. All of the graphic work is done by Scott. So it's nice to see, like, the four of us, like, stay as a collective, but also keep people close to us that also have those same talents or similar talents, like, bring them in as well. And it's, like, all people we've grown up with.
It's got a very, like, very pure DIY ethic to it.
Right now, especially, yeah. Like, we just, you know, at the core of it all, like, you know, we all just want to have fun with it. That was really why it came out. You know, Scott had been writing all these songs and wanted to do more with it. And we all were like, absolutely. We're going to have more that we're working on. Unfortunately, of course, due to COVID-19, we had two recording sessions that were ready to go. One that would have just passed in April, and then another one that was supposed to be the end of this month that we had to reschedule. But I believe those are now happening in June, which is good. The plan is to have an EP released by mid end of summer, right now, and we'll have more kind of along the, we'll have more stuff that we will be like teasing and things like that along the way, just to try to keep the interest alive and everything like that. We're happy with the response to Kindling so far.
Yeah, Kindling was a lot of, was really cool. I dug the hell out of it. I liked the way the music video was shot. It was cool.
It was super tight in that room though. So
yeah,
it was actually shot in our, it was actually shot in a rehearsal studio. Brett and Scott that day went out to a fabric store and just got like big, big sheets of black fabric and lined the room with them. And then some cheap overhead lights from Home Depot. But the room is super, super small. Like at any point, I would say most, like all the takes actually from that video, anything that's like where you see Dan or any of us being like really up close to the camera, it's because they were maybe three feet or less away from us, maybe like at times a little further, but that's really it. So it was super tight in that room, and the point was to kind of make it a very intimate thing, especially for the first one because we're so new.
Yeah, but it's interesting how it's like it feels like a very like big song, but it's in a very small room.
Yeah,
I don't know what that says about you, that you might be small but you pack a punch.
I hope so. I mean, I hope that's the response we've gotten. You know, we've been great. We're grateful about the fact that like people have reached out to us and they really enjoyed it. You know, we had some debates of like when we were going to release it, because obviously with everything going on, it could have gone, it was one of two ways. It's like, you know, we either hold on to this for a later time or release it now. And the kind of thought we had on it is like, while it could be like shoegazy and like you said, like melodic hardcore, and some of the vibe of it can seem really sad, a lot of what we also try to portray and a lot of like how we all are as people, we try to be more like uplifting and positive. So we're glad we released it when we did. Some of the responses we've gotten from it too have been really like, it's made us happy, and it's been a heartwarming response to for sure. And that's why we've been wanting to push the needle like that much harder. The way we've all kind of felt so far is, as bad as we all want to play shows, and I think I speak for pretty much every musician ever at this point.
Yeah.
But I know that our goal is that while where we can't do that, we're going to just do everything we can to continue to put more content out.
I think that's what you have to do though, right?
Yeah, I mean, and everybody's learning. You know, my brother's in a deathcore band called Lorna Shore, and you know, they're usually on the road all year round. And you know, we're all figuring out, you know, bands big and big bands and small bands, of how, you know, for the bigger bands, you know, it's a shame because it really is that really, really is their livelihood.
Yeah.
And small bands, it's, you know, you know, we just want to get out and do our thing, whether it's like, you know, weekend warrior tours or local shows or anything really. So it's just about how to do that. And I, you know, hell, I've had days where I'm running into it now where it's like, it's just, you kind of get in a rut and you're just like, well, when am I going to be able to do this thing that I love again? And it's like, right now we just have to do it kind of on a digital platform more than anything. You know, you're seeing bands like Code Orange doing their record release show in an empty venue, but still giving everybody who like logged on and paid into it a show experience.
Right. Yeah. I've definitely taken part in a few of those shows, and it's, you know, I'd be lying if I wasn't like standing up watching some of them, because I'm like, I just need to like get that feeling of being in a live music situation again. And yeah, it sucks. And like, you know, the New York scene is, it's very unique in the you know, kind of in the greater, I don't even know if you want to call it like the just the metal scene, just the music scene in general. But I mean, the New York metal scene is pretty unique, especially like right now. You just look at like some of the acts that are cropping up at like these little, like they're not even like big venues, but you're getting like really cool acts dropping into New York, especially at like, you know, Vitus and shit like that. So it's a drag to not be able to partake in that.
Oh, for sure. And I say this, you know, one of the things that I've been most grateful for since I've lived here is the New York music scene. It's always, you know, I felt it more when Godmaker came in, because we were really in it. We became, you know, in it more than anything, like, you know, for a while I was always a spectator. I'd go to local shows or go to tour, you know, bands that were touring to either at Vitus or any other bars that were doing them here, or shows at Gramercy, Webster Hall, anything like that. But when you got down to the local scene of it, it's always been like this big family. And for years it was like, it's been like that. You'd see, you know, guys in two different bands doing different projects together later on, or just everybody hanging out. Like, it's always, everybody's always shown up for each other, which is always a great thing. There's like, there's no ego. There's no, it's not like a pissing contest. It's like everybody just wants to see everyone do well.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I think that kind of encapsulates it. You know, I mean, even just look at Cherisher, like, you know, your Jordan does 2 minutes to Late Night, and who's not the drummer, your bass player. I definitely have seen him like pop up somewhere else.
So they used to do, they also used to do a, oh my God, I'm going to butcher this. I feel like it was Be Yourself was the name of it. They used to do like a pop punk and like emo karaoke night, like, but they were like a live band doing
it. Yeah.
And Jordan now has been doing all those 2 minutes covers with everybody. I'm sure you've seen a few of those on YouTube last few days. So he's been killing it with that, which is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, we obviously have been dying to get back into the swing of things, because we were really like, I mean, hell, our first show, I think, was February. And, you know, unfortunately, like, you know, we had like a couple shows in, and we had three booked after that that all had to get canceled as well. They were supposed to take place in April.
That fucking sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's rough. But you know, it's a rough time for everybody too. You know, it's, you know, for us, it's like a, I don't want to say it's a stubborn thing to think about it, but it is, I guess, to a degree, because it's an entertainment side of things, but it's like, you know, all of us, you know, we all live for this. We love doing it, you know, and it's just for the fun of it. So not being able to do it right now is rough for everybody. You learn to, you know, even me, you know, I used to go out, oh God, I want to say I used to be out like 4 or 5 nights a week. And probably the last couple of years I've gone out less and less. And as soon as this really hit, I realized, I'm like, man, I think I took advantage of the fact that I could go to things every night, and I never taken that for granted ever again.
No, it's, yeah, I know that feeling of just like, I can just drive 20 minutes to my girlfriend's apartment and then just go to bed, and then I can wake up and I can go right back out and do something else.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for the longest time, you know, up until recently, it was always like, you always had options. You're like, all right, well, what's going on, you know, this day? It's like, all right, this show's here, or, you know, my friends are going to be at this place. So, you know, there was never nothing to do. If you were doing nothing at home, it's just because you genuinely wanted a night off and just didn't feel like going out.
Yeah, exactly. You always had like a swath of things to do, and it was just like, nah, I'm just going to stay in. But yeah, I miss it. And, you know, it's just and none of it's going to be the same. Like, this is going to affect it in a way that, you know, we're all going to just be looking at things a little bit differently, maybe more intelligently, 100%. But it'll be weird.
I mean, I do genuinely hope that we come out of this intelligently, for sure. People, you know, I have friends that, you know, aren't musicians or are, that ask me, you know, what do I think it looks like? And I, you know, I don't know. You know, I'm not going to, you know, if people above me don't have the answers, I don't know how I'm going to. I know how I would like it to look. But, you know, it's going to be, if we're lucky, we get things back in a slow and like gradual pace. Because the last thing I think anybody wants is for the floodgates to be open and then for us to lose it again and eat for an even longer period of time. You know,
yeah.
I know everybody, including myself, is, you know, wishing,
chomping at the bit.
Yeah. That, you know, I think everybody wants to be able to wake up one morning and everything just be okay and to return to normalcy. But I don't think what we deemed as normalcy for a while is going to be that ever again. I think it's going to be very different, but it's not to say that different is bad. I think that, you know, people will be more diligent. I think people will be, you know, I hope that everybody comes out of it smarter. And just, you know, we take care of each other and take care of ourselves.
Yeah. And not tell people to drink bleach.
Yeah, I mean, I will be the one, be the first to say that, I'm probably not the first to say, I'm going to take that back. I will wholeheartedly admit, though, that I do not actively stare at the news all day. I
try not to either. It's hard with, like, you know, social media, if you're, you know, depending on, like, what channels you follow. But in terms of just, like, the news.
Yeah, well, even that, I mean, I've tried to, like, you know, because I have friends who are nurses. I have friends that are doctors. I have friends that have kids, you know, you name it. Like, I've got my family members on there, you know, and everybody has a different, not a different opinion, but everybody has a different outlook on this. And some people that, you know, being scared is a genuine thing. And, you know, for me, it's not that I walk around with no worry, but I also don't leave the, one, I don't leave the house that much, at least as much as I avoid it as much as possible. But, you know, I'm at the point now where I read enough to stay informed of what's going on. But I got to a point probably early on in this where the longer I was reading it, the more not paranoid, but definitely the more fearful I got.
But like a way, like just like that gradual anxiety.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's actually the perfect way of putting it. And, you know, I am able to work. And that level of anxiety was impacting my ability to get things done on a day to day, where it's just like, I don't want to leave my bed because apparently this is the safest place for me at this point.
And it's at the same time too, it's just like a part of me feel as, you know, in it's kind of, I don't know if it's hypocritical, but, you know, creating and putting out content and, you know, running an Instagram and a Facebook page and an email and, like, and, you know, editing podcasts and photos and shit like that. It is like social media just burnout, like, and not from fucking Diary of Doom. I mean, like, you're just getting hit, like, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, and then, like, everyone else's fucking opinions on Facebook. And it's just like, it's just gotten to the point where I think it's like people are just like kind of freaking out from all the, you know, just being on the phone, reading your news on the phone. Here's another development. Here's more completely ill, you know, not factual things going out there. So I definitely think social media burnout is part of this whole thing too.
Well, everybody's on their phones that much more than ever.
Because they don't have anything else to do.
Right. I mean, you know, you can binge watch every single thing on Netflix and Hulu, but then what do you do after that? It's interesting. I was talking to my mom the other day, and then, you know, I grew up in the 90s, and like as a kid, like, you know, if that lets anybody know how old or young I am, but as a kid, like, you know, we didn't have the ability to be glued to a computer or a phone. So I can't imagine growing up during this, if anything. Like, it would be so strange to me because, like, as a, you know, my memories as a child were always like either playing music with my friends or going out and, like, for us, it was like, you know, we used to all play like kickball in the street by my house or things like that. Like, I couldn't imagine having that taken away from me because I couldn't be around people. And that's how I equate it, because it's like, I can't imagine being a kid now. But then I realized that there's luxuries that we have now that I didn't have as a kid.
Yeah, kind of similar, you know, to me. I definitely spent a lot more time outside as a kid, and now it's like very much, you know, inside. And, you know, that part of that is just like, you know, you get a job, you sit at a desk, you go on a computer,
yeah,
blah blah blah, plays a whole part in it. But yeah, it's a whole different world out there for the kids. So this is a weird time for them to be growing up. I mean, I have a five-year-old. She's six now. I have a six-year-old sister, and I'm like, why do you have a fucking iPad? I'm like, I didn't have an iPad.
I'm on Zoom calls with she'll be 16 this year, my 16-year-old sister. You know, it's like, even the idea of, like, you know, younger kids having, like, everybody's got a smartphone. The idea of, like, the phones that we had when we were younger, where it's like, you had a certain amount of
Nokia bricks.
Yeah, you had a certain amount of text messages you were allowed to send before your bill went. You couldn't really send, you weren't sending pictures to each other. There was no Snapchat or Instagram or anything like that. Your phone literally made phone calls. That was really it.
You got lucky if you could play like Snake on it.
Yeah. Yeah. The most fun you had was like creating ringtones as a kid. I think that was about it. So
I could even do that. I just got like burners at 7-Eleven a few times.
Yeah.
Oh man, I wish I missed the days I could just go buy a new phone at 7-Eleven for like, I don't even know how much money. It was probably like 30 bucks.
I mean, I think you still can. They just look at you a little funnier now because they know that there's other options.
They're like, they're like, yeah, we've seen The Wire, dude. We know what's going on.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, to dwell on coronavirus for too long. Like, what are you listening to right now that you're loving? Because there is still like a pretty heavy stream of music coming out right now. You just, you know, people are still mailing out vinyl. People are still putting out tunes, you know. And you know, I've heard some really great music come out this year.
So I've been all over the place, and like truthfully, I've like also gone backwards of what I'm listening to. Actually, the guy who we're going to record with, Adam, and oh my god, I'm gonna butcher his name, his last name, so I'm not even gonna try it. We can talk about that when I see him. But his band Gatherers actually just put a single out. They just signed to No Sleep Records. Came out at the end of last week, and it's absolutely incredible. It's called Ad Nauseam I Drown. Let's see, what else have I been listening to? I'm going through. And there's also been a ton of hip hop I've been listening to. Like Prof just did a new single. Run the Jewels has put a couple singles out so far this year. RA the Rugged Man put out a new record that Pete from Godmaker and I have been super, super heavy on. But then I've been listening to so much like older stuff or stuff that came out at the tail end of last year. That band Sleep Token. I don't know if you're familiar with them or not.
I'm not. I've heard of the name. I just heard them. I don't know where I heard them get mentioned, but I remember reading or hearing the name crop up somewhere.
They're very much not a metal band. They have like moments where they have like moments of heaviness. But it's such an interesting listen, especially for their singer, because his vocal delivery is it's very emphatic and very emotional, and very like guys got a very, very powerful voice, but they do a lot of these like beautiful like soft songs that build their way up, and then have moments where they play what almost sounds like Deftones riffs. Speaking of bands that are, I wouldn't say derivative, but have that style, I will say that one of my favorite things that has come out this year is that new Loathe record.
Yeah, I keep hearing that name too. Well, I guess I'm adding that to my list of records to check out.
That record's absolutely great. My buddy's band in Florida, Body Snatcher, they put a record out this year that I've listened to. The new Velor Talk record is great.
Yeah, I have to give it another listen because I was a huge fan of Kveller Talk. I never got to see them, but I love the record, you know, with the original singer, obviously, like Owl Dude. So I have to give it another listen because I do really love those older Kveller Talk records so much. Dude, and I know that's very like, oh, you know,
it's not the same.
Dude, you know, it's not the same. It's different. Fucking garbage. Like,
dude does a great job. Dude definitely does a great job, though. And the band still just puts out quality work. Like, they're still so good. That's easily, like, some of the... It's at times, it's hard to classify them, especially the longer their career goes. Like, they're less of a metal band and more of just, like, this feel-good rock band at all times. Because it's just, like, you can't not, especially if anybody has seen them live, you can't not have fun watching them.
And they are also one of those metal bands that benefits from being able to play on a really big variety of bills because they could tour, like, I think they did tour, or at least open for them. Like, they could play for opening up for Metallica, but they're also, like, one of those bands that, like stoner rock and doom metal fans also really like
I was gonna say the first tour I saw them on, it was Converge, them, and Torch, and there's another band on the bill, and I'm blanking on the name. I remember seeing them, it was at a Highline Ballroom, and then years later I don't remember if it was them and Gojira or them and Mastodon.
probably Mastodon.
But I've seen them a few times, and it's just like they always deliver. They're always super tight. They're fun. You know, again, like I tell anybody, it's like if you've seen them, you know that that's a true thing. And if you haven't, I suggest that when we all can see live music again, that you do it. And I guarantee you'd be hard pressed to not just lose your shit and have fun the whole time.
Yeah. And you'll be wondering why there's three guitar players in the band, which is still a mystery to me, but
they make it work. I mean, there's few bands that I feel like really do that well. Cult of Luna has always been one of my absolute favorites.
Oh, that show was so good.
did you make it to that one with Emma and Intronaut?
Yeah. I bumped into you and John there. I remember I was like, oh, hey, I just saw you on Friday.
Well, then my bad. My head's a mess.
That's all right. I think you were like, I'm kind of drunk.
That was entirely possible.
Yeah, that was a really good show.
They were a band that I never thought I'd get to see live, because by the time I really, really dug into them, they weren't coming over to the States at all. And then right after Vertical came out, they started coming back to America, and I don't think I've ever missed them since they've been back here.
That was the first time I had seen them, because I remember when Mariner dropped, and I was just not like at that point for that kind of music. I don't think I needed another like year or two to kind of
obviously that do that perform. I mean, I'm a huge Julie Christmas fan, so I'm like,
well, yeah, it's a thing. It didn't resonate with me, but I guarantee you if I went back and listened to it now and then listened to like her discography, I'd probably dig the shit out of it.
Yeah, well, Julie is great, and you know, whether you listen to Made Out of Babies or Battle of Mice or her solo record, it's all good. It's all very different. That she's got such a unique voice. And when they announced that they were doing that with her, I was genuinely curious, because it's such a, if you go listen to her cat, when you go and listen to her catalog, it is such a different thing between the two bands, but they really made it work together super, super well.
I'm just going to listen to it tomorrow.
It's five songs and it's still like an hour, but it's still worth it.
Oh, I don't care. If I see a record pop up on like, I've gotten in the habit of looking at like the running times now. If I see a record is like shorter than 40 minutes, I get excited.
Yeah.
Like today, I was just listening to like Jacob Bannon's new project, and I was like, damn, this record's 26 minutes long.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I'm missing that I've listened to that came out this year. I mean, I'm biased. My brother put a record out this year that I'm a fan of. And that's a style of music that wasn't always my thing, but they do it. I feel like they do it really, really well. And I love all those dudes in that band to death.
What's it's Lorna Shore, right? I've definitely heard. They're another band that like I definitely have heard of.
Yeah, I mean, they've been around for a while, and you know, they've done some pretty. I'm proud of him. That kid, you know, he's another one. He went from playing pop punk basically to that shortly after. And I've watched my brother grow as a drummer and just as a person in general. You know, outside of Lorna Shore, he's got a clothing brand he's been working on and releasing stuff with now too, called Love Crime. But they, as a band, they've always stayed very, very active. The last tour that I got to see them, the last tour they were on, prior to leaving for Europe, they were out with Fit for an Autopsy. So they had two shows at Vitus, one where it went started the tour and then one when it ended. But they were actually on a tour in Europe with Decapitated and Ingested right when all this COVID stuff really, really was coming to light. And they were in there the beginning of March and were there for about a week and a half before they had a hightail at home.
Oh, it sucks.
Yeah. Well, it sucks. And it was like also like terrifying because they were not knowing like where they were flying out of. And it got to a point where they were just like, I just want to get home.
Yeah. Yeah. There's still people that were on tour that are just like in Europe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that whole Testament Exodus tour, they basically completed as much as it could have. And then they all got sick. I was like, you know, obviously my concern was all of my friends getting home safe, but also that they didn't catch it while they were there.
Yeah. Well, of course. That's the natural response reaction. I will say that, like, I definitely know Lorna Shore because they have a Wikipedia page.
Yep.
So that means they've done something right. Is there anything you want to plug?
I mean, right now, the thing that I can plug the most is Endless, because it's the thing, you know, as far as everything that I am working on, it's the thing that is the most active right now. One, due to our single being out right now, Kindling, our music video for it, is up on YouTube. We've had unfortunate issues going back and forth with getting it up on Spotify. We've been working those issues out. It was supposed to be up about a week ago, but we're going to make an announcement once it's actually up there. We're going to, like I said, we're planning to finish everything up in a couple of months and have the EP out, ideally, like I said, mid end of summer. You can follow us at Endless Band in NJ on Instagram. It's the same handle for Facebook as well. And then, yeah, just keep an eye out for that. Godmaker, we still post, you know, when we can, and Cherisher, the same thing. We're all working on stuff as well, whether it be quietly or more publicly. And hopefully, you know, all of us will have stuff out really, really soon. And then, actually, Nathaniel Shannon will have a release as well. His Instagram handle is at NS and the VT. Yeah, we couldn't get it to be the full name. I don't think we would have made it all the way through.
Too many characters.
Yeah. Godmaker's at GodmakerBK, and Cherisher's at Cherisher NYC. So
there you go.
You can find us all there. And like I said, just keep up with us. And, you know, I hope that we're all, you know, that we're all doing something that you like, whether it's from all four or one of each or a couple, you know, whatever it may be. And hopefully we'll all actually get to hit a stage in the not too, too distant future. But obviously, you know, be realistic enough that we're not scaring the hell out of anybody, including ourselves.
All right. Absolutely. Thanks for coming on, dude. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
This is really cool. I'm glad I got to learn all about you and what you do and why you do it.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me on. I like it. We'll see everybody hopefully soon when we can actually see each other.
It's going to be a hell of a show when it happens.
I cannot wait. Seriously. It's like the one thing I think about is like, all right, all four projects need something to happen and I need them all to do things. Like, I'll just make a weekend out of it. It's like everybody gets one every day. I don't care.
Do like two matinee shows.
I'll do it. I actually miss ABC No Rio for that. I'm doing that. Over fun. Well, cool, man. I will stay safe.
You too. Thank you again for coming on, and that will do it for this chapter of the diary.